We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, Freedom, Oklahoma, you are the hot spot in western Oklahoma right now, including most of the Texas Panhandle. 87 at Cheyenne seems to be the cool spot. Way out west in the Panhandle at Kenton, and at Boise City, they're in the low 80s also. But around western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle, we are in the high 80s and low 90s. It looks like there might be some temperature record set this week. So stay tuned for your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later on the hour. I have a huge show on hand for you guys today. Dr. Kevin Wagner, he is the director of the Oklahoma Water Resources Research Center at Oklahoma State University. And Dr. Jason Warren will also be on here. He's the Soil and Water Conservation Management Extension Specialist for Oklahoma State University. We're going to be talking about one of the water projects going on down at Altus, Oklahoma. They got a deal going on down there with Texas A&M. And then Dr. Wagner is going to be talking a little bit about some cover crops. So anyway, so we'll just get on with the show because they're going to come on here in about 15 minutes. All right, let's check out the futures on grains. Corn for December is $6.75. March is $6.80. May is $6.80. And July is $6.75. Soybeans, $14.57 for November, $14.64 for January. Soybean meal, October, $439 even for a short ton. And December is $429.70. And January is $424.20. Soybean oil for October, $67.98. December, $65.12. January, $64.22. And really, the only thing in the green today on the grain side is actually soybeans. Hard red winter wheat's taking a pretty good hit today. December is $9.09, and March is $9.08. Oats, December, $4.01. I lied. It's in the green, too. I just now noticed that. But anyway, it's up a little bit. December's 401, and March is 402. Scroll on down here and see what cotton's doing. Cotton is, October is at 101, and December's at 99. It's just been steadily going down a little bit. And more on cotton here in just a second. And then we got, let me get over here to the cash grain prices at the elevators for you real quick. Hard red winter wheat is $8.61. Corn's at $7.65. Milo's at $6.95. And cash for soybeans is $14.78. All right, let me get over here to this cotton deal. And here we go. So there's a report finally come out after the reports got messed up here a couple months ago, or about a month ago, when they hadn't come out with any reports. In its September crop report, the USDA estimated a 2022 U.S. crop of cotton at 13.83 million bales, 1.26 million more than was projected in the August report. Upland production was estimated at 13.37 million bales, and extra long staple production, 460,000 bales. Harvested area was estimated at 7.8 million acres, implying a non-harvest acre area of 5.92 million acres. That's resulting in an abandonment rate of 43%. Here's that. Make it simple. The national average yield per harvested acre was estimated to be 843 pounds, 12 pounds less than the five-year average. Let's check on the regional. We'll go down here into the southwest, which where we're at. Upland crop is estimated at 3.68 million bales. Expected harvested area is almost 3 million acres. And the regional yield is 596 pounds, 115 pounds less than the five-year average of 711 pounds per acre harvested. The Texas upland crop is estimated at 3.20 million bales. Expected harvested area is 2.5 million acres, and the average yield is 614 pounds, which is 89 less than the five-year average. Oklahoma also is down with an estimated 387 pounds per harvested acre. That's almost half of the five-year average. It's down 343 pounds. That's crazy. So anyway, I just one of these deals that I just been looking for these numbers for you on the cotton, because I know some guys are putting cover crops already in their cotton right now and getting ready for the fall harvest when it comes up. They'll have their rye, wheat, whatever, already in there. And that was according to an unknown source last Friday telling me that. I say unknown source. These cotton guys, they're kind of touchy. Anyway, I just say unknown source. Sounds like some of the stuff they put on the these papers I read from the all over the world news report on what's happening with agriculture. Well, quickly before we go to break, wheat futures plunged in overnight trading as more agriculture exports come out of the Ukraine despite threats to end the agreement allowing shipments on the war-torn country. 10 ships sailed from Ukrainian ports on Sunday carrying almost 170,000 metric tons of agriculture products. Since an agreement was reached in late July, about 3.7 million metric tons of agriculture products have been exported from the country's ports. Ukraine is forecast to export 20.5 million metric tons of wheat in the 22-23 marketing year, according to the USDA. That's up a month earlier from outlook was 19.5, so it's up about another million metric tons. If realized, that would still be well below the 33 million metric tons shipped last year. Global wheat production is now seen at 783.9 million metric tons. That's up from the August outlook of 779.6 million metric tons. This will push ending stockpiles to 268 million tons, up from the prior projection of 267. Wheat futures for December delivery lost 16 and three quarter cents to $8.43 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures were down 16 cents also to $9.19 and a quarter a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery fell 2 pennies to 675 and a half a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery was up 3 cents to 14.51 and a half a bushel, and soy meal added $3.10 to $424.80 a short ton, while soybean oil fell 0.57 cents to $65.39 a pound. Well, we got all kind. Man, there was a lot of good things going on this weekend. The short grass rodeo at Sayre was a huge success, as far as I'm concerned. I attended Friday night, and it was a really good rodeo. One of my favorite sports now, I think, is the ladies in the breakaway roping. Them girls are go-getters. That's all I got to say about that deal. I mean, they want that rope around that neck on that deal, and they did a really good job. I didn't get to attend Saturday night. I heard it was really, really good. And a big shout out to Dusta Kimsey O'Connor. She was there both nights with both of her horses. The quarter of a horse was there, and then her big horse was there. And they did a beautiful job. She represented the USA flag very well and made it look great, flying around the arena there, standing up on her horse, leaning forward. It was great. The people were great, good crowd. Everything was going good. So congratulations to Sayre for putting on a great rodeo, and I just see it getting nothing but better from here on out. Also coming up, This Sunday, September the 25th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the 66 to go out here west of town, right there on the opposite side of the highway going west from Hutch's west side. You guys remember back in July when the Dust Bowl days had their big parade in Sayre, and I'm talking about Sayre because they got things going on right now, so I get to talk about Sayre. Well, Joe Merrick was riding on Mind That Bird, the 2009 Kentucky Derby winner and the star of the 50-1, the movie. And he was riding that horse. He's beautiful, got my attention big time, just a beautiful horse. Well, come get your photo taken with him this Sunday, 11 to 4, right there at the 66 to go. $5 minimum purchase will get you a picture and a signed poster by the owner, Mark Allen. 20% of the sales will go to local charities like Meals on Wheels and Dream League Baseball. So that's at 19677 Route 66 in Elk City, just out here west on 066. You guys want to see a beautiful horse, and you've never been to the Kentucky Derby or any of the rest of these derbies and never been around a racehorse. Most of us grew up around quarter horses around here. Well, you're getting ready to go see the Jolly Green Giant when you see this horse. He is beautiful. So, anyway, take note on that and be sure to attend that. I'll be talking about that all week this week. Mind That Bird will be out here west side of Elk City. Go see him. Well, Mr. Jerry Nine, how's things looking at Woodward at the sale?
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, September the 13th. We sold 1,352 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, September the 15th, we sold 3,028 kids and feeders for a total of 4,380 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 89 to 99. Thin cows bring 50 to 81. Bulls bring 98 to 115. 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 1,285 to 1,400. With a 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 1,200 to 1,460. 9 and older bred cows, 1,050 to 1,150. And our 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1,150 to 1,335. One thing about selling your cows at Woodward, our buyers do not buddy up. Killing buyers all compete, makes a very competitive market. Steer cattle, 3 to 350 steers, 217 to 231. 4 to 450, 189 to 215. 5 to 550, 172 to 190. 6 to 650, 162 to 179 off the cow, but 176 to 189 on the yearlings. 7 to 750, 171 to 177.50, 8 to 850 steers, 164 up to 175. 9 to 950, 169 to 172 with 1,050 pound steers, 154 and a half to 162. 100 heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 174 to 176. 4 to 450, 155 to 171. 5 to 550, 148 to 168, 6 to 650, 150 to 173, 7 to 750, 162 to 169, 8 to 850, 153 to 155, and our 9 to 950 average, 138 to 146. Very competitive market. Our commission is $5.05 cheaper than some sale barns around. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller. For this Tuesday, September the 22nd, we're expecting 50 bred cows and pairs. 6 to 8 years old. We also got 40 other bred cows and pairs. Another deal. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel, they're built better, they're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
Again, good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 9th. I'm Drew Cobb. 1,965 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 324 brought 238. 5 at 426 brought 212. 8 at 478 brought 203. 19 at 529 brought 193. 5 at 555 brought 188. 11 at 629 brought 171. 5 at 709 brought 168. 3 head of heifers at 258 brought 194. 12 at 462 brought 170. 4 at 538 brought 165. 5 at 575 brought 155. 7 at 677 brought 166.50. 3 at 802 brought 150. 7 at 874 brought 146. Butcher cows were 42 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 72 to 118. Bred cows were 800 to 1350. Pairs brought 600 to 1850. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sales every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Looks like Hollis, Oklahoma, you're 91. Altus, you're 90. Woodward, Freedom, and Buffalo, you're all right there at 95, 96. It's going to be a little warm this week. Well, joining me right now on the phone, and I have two gentlemen from OSU on here, Dr. Jason Warren and Dr. Kevin Wagner. Dr. Wagner is the director of the Oklahoma Water Resources Center at Oklahoma State University, and Dr. Warren is a soil and water conservation management extension specialist. So I'm pretty sure these guys know what they're talking about when we start talking about conservation and water. Welcome to Today in Ag, sirs.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just it's a beautiful hot day in Oklahoma is all I can say.
It is that.
Dr. Wagner, let's start with you, and we'll just take it off from here. You got a project, or everybody's got a project. Texas A&M and OSU's got a project going on down there at Altus, and I read that story, and that's why I got in contact with you. That's a really awesome project you guys got going on down there.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. We got a project funded by the USDA National Institute of Food and Agriculture late last year to do some research on how we can intensify agricultural production in the Southern Great Plains using integrated regenerative ag practices. So that's the primary focus of our project, and like you said, it is in collaboration with Texas A&M, but also Texas Tech and West Texas A&M too.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't read that. And why did you pick south of Altus? Is it because of the rainfall they get down there?
Really a combination of factors. Number one, we were really wanting to focus on cotton production systems. When we started looking at different crops that are produced in Oklahoma and the Southern Great Plains, cotton doesn't produce a whole lot of residue. So you maybe are more likely to have some wind and water erosion with the cotton production, and that's where we thought we might see the greatest benefits from the use of cover crops would be in cotton production. And of course, cotton production has been a staple in southwestern Oklahoma for many years. So that was one of the big reasons we chose that area of the state.
Yeah, and you are correct. I mean, I know there's cotton. I know cotton farmers around here in the Beckham County area, and I know they use cover crops. As a matter of fact, one of them just texted me Friday. He said they were just now starting to put their plant their cover crop, which we're going to need some rain to help out with this dry land cover crops. But it's cotton does, and you know what? I remember back when I was growing up, when they would go out and strip or pick the cotton, and that ground would just blow all winter long.
Yep. So, cover crops are one of the primary practices we're looking at. Really, for us, we're looking at just using wheat as a cover crop. I know there's a lot of other systems out there that are available, but, we thought the producers in Oklahoma certainly know how to grow wheat, and so we thought it'd be an easy practice for people to adopt in the state. But the other things we're looking at is, there's many times with those cover crops, you terminate them before you plant your cash crop, cotton in this case.
Right.
But with our partners at Texas A&M, we're looking at can we graze the cover crop out instead of terminating it using chemicals? And, does that help maybe with some of the nutrient cycling and that aspect? So, for what we're doing in Altus, we're just looking at, your typical termination using chemicals. But at our partner station down in Vernon, Texas, they're going to be grazing theirs out, and then we can compare the two to see, what are the benefits of each one.
Yeah, on that article that I seen, you got some monitoring stations out there, and looks like, 12 of them that's at Altus, mm-hmm. Is that correct? What exactly does that tell you? Is it recording all your information?
It is. So we set up those 12 sites to be able to evaluate both dry land and irrigated cotton, and how having cover crops will affect both the soils and production and water, all three of those. So, we've set up these monitoring sites that have equipment that will collect any runoff water that runs off of our plots. And then, so it measures how much water runs off, and then we can also get those water samples analyzed for nutrients and sediment be able to determine, what are the possible water quality benefits of having cover crops too. Because, with cover crops, we would anticipate that we'll have some better infiltration of water where you've got those cover crops. As you hopefully, you've got the root systems and you build up that soil carbon, that the water will infiltrate, so we'll have less runoff coming from those and more of that water going into the soil. But we'd also expect to see maybe some level of filtration. The water that does run off, it goes through those cover crops and their residues, and it's cleaned up some. So, but we wanted to see, since there's so much dry land, agriculture in southwest Oklahoma, more so than even irrigated, we wanted to see the benefits of those practices to both types of systems.
Well, you might have picked a good year since they're in a D4 drought down there.
And
it's crazy. This whole year, the last year actually in agriculture is crazy because, you're talking about down at Vernon, they're going to graze off their cover crop and southwest, mm-hmm. and then the ones across Oklahoma, you're just going to terminate it with chemicals. But this year, I think farmers and ranchers are thinking so much harder and making a game plan in advance on what they're going to do because input costs are so crazy this year, you know, basically double or triple, depending on what you're talking about in prices since that. So if you can graze a cover crop and get some grazing out of it, I think that'd be beneficial. But then on the flip side of that, which I'm sure Dr. Warren will touch on here in a little bit, you know, if you plant the right cover crops, it's actually putting some nitrogen or anything back, nutrients back into your ground. That's going to save you some money on fertilizer too. So I think people are thinking way harder this year than they have in a long time.
Yep. We know that economic aspect is super critical. So we do have an economics team is one of the big teams that we have as part of the project that will be looking at not only those economic impacts to the individual producers and the benefits, but also, you know, to the region as well. You know, if these were to be more broadly adopted, what would be the economic benefits to the communities throughout the region? So economics are a major thing we're looking at with this project.
Yeah, it's become important. Well, if you gentlemen don't mind, let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, we'll get with Jason, and we'll start talking about the cover crops and what and how it's combining with what the water project you got going on. So you guys just hang tight with me, and we'll be right back.
All right.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying into the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
If you have a small business, Staples has your sign.
Banners for my bakery?
Staples has your sign.
Oh, posters for my new pet store.
Floor decals for a pharmacy.
Every day, Staples associates help every kind of small business create bold signs to make big impressions. And now get $10 off custom signs, banners, and posters when you spend $50 or more. This is your sign, so print it big at Staples. Ends 10-1. Visit staplesconnect.com/thisisyoursign for details.
Good afternoon, Western Oklahoma, and all you great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 12th. 1,723 head were sold. 3 head of steers at $395, brought 207. 9 at $511, brought 170. 6 at $559, brought 185.50. 12 at $684, brought 162. 8 at $706, brought 181.75. 16 at $732, brought 176. 25 at $811, brought 175.75. 11 head of heifers at $460, brought 165. 4 at $490, brought 165. 11 at $543, brought 162. 3 at $622, brought 172. 12 at $683, brought 153.50. 20 at $744, brought 149. 9 at $1034, brought 134. Butcher cows were $35 to $99. Butcher bulls brought $50 to $117. Pairs were $1225 to $1400. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SCI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SCI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SCI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, welcome back. Quickly, the northwestern Oklahoma weather forecast, the Long Ranger, not the Lone Ranger. It's pretty simple. All week, we're going to be hot and sunny until about Thursday. We got 97 today, 97 tomorrow, 96 Wednesday, and then Thursday, a cool front comes through briefly, 83 degrees for a high Thursday. Friday, we're back up to summer. So anyway, just crazy weekend, but get your golf clubs out and get them shined up for Thursday. Be a great day to go golfing. Well, back joining me on the show today is Dr. Jason Warren and Dr. Kevin Wagner. They're both from Oklahoma State University. And Dr. Wagner, before we get to Jason, is there any other projects you guys got going on as far as anything to do with water resources? Or
oh, we do have a lot of projects. Might have to come back on for another day.
Okay.
We got a big project looking at virtual fencing technology to, with cattle grazing operations, and so that's a real exciting project we have going on. And another one down in southwest Oklahoma is we're looking at some of the salinity issues and the water resources down there, and how, you know, moving towards the future, how we could better manage the water and those salt issues so we can continue or expand, you know, irrigation and water availability for that and other uses into the future. So a lot of good work and a lot of fun projects going on.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, and I got a salt issue that I'd like to discuss with you on these days, on, other than on the air, about what happened to us down at our irrigation down there by Granite, which is not too far from where you guys got your project going on, so it might help, might
sure.
be of interest to you.
Yeah.
Dr. Warren, are you still with us? You've been awful quiet.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I'm
well,
just soaking it up.
Well, you're a busy man with this cover crop deal, and cover crops is one of my favorite subjects. And things have changed so much in farming in the last 30 or 40 years. You know, went from, a lot of people have gone from conventional farming to the no-till, and some guys haven't done it, and some guys have went back to it. And you know, it's not a question of whether the cover crop is the best or the not. It's just, you know, learning. There's a lot of learning going on about it.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the thing is, you know, in parts of Oklahoma, we've got various crop rotations that provide quite a little bit of residue. You know, if you're up around Enid, you can grow corn and grain sorghum and wheat and soybean and even cotton, and all those, most of those crops have quite a little bit of residue. And really, it's the, for you know, a lot of systems, it's the ground cover that we are looking for in no-till, which provides, you know, cooler temperatures in the soil and a little bit better water retention. And so if you're in a system, you know, that's lacking residue like cotton, then cover crops can see some benefit. Like Kevin said, you know, you would expect with the ground cover that you would increase your infiltration and minimize runoff. And then with cotton, one of the things that they say is, or that they see, is that that residue protects those young plants. I think that's a critical part of developing a stand and then keeping a stand against the harshness of our environment down there.
Right. Well, you know, this summer, well, not too long ago, I actually had my temperature gun with me, and this was pasture land. It wasn't crop land, and I took a temperature of some ground that had cover and walked over to some ground that didn't have any cover, and they was 30 probably on the average 30 degrees difference between the temperature of the ground, with one with grass actually growing on it that was like, you know, ankle to boot top high, and then the other one was grazed plumb off slick, and it was amazing the difference in the temperature in the ground.
Yeah. Well, and that goes back to just simple, you know, that goes to grazing management. You graze anything off slick, and we've done work, you know, with no-till grazing. And what we'll see is if we can just maintain and utilize a moderate grazing to keep the ground covered, and there's a lot of argument as to how much ground, you know, how much biomass you have to have and gobbledygook like that. But the main thing is if you can keep cover on the ground, you know, the more is better up until you can't get a planter through it, but you can utilize it for grazing. And just that plant, not only just the residue, maybe it's dead, will keep the ground cooler because it's going to reflect more light. But then if you have grow-up and ground cover out there, that's going to even keep it cool simply because it's fire and water, and the evaporation of the water through the plants is going to keep it cooler. So it's certainly something that's pretty commonly observed.
Well, they go ahead, sorry.
No, and I was just going to say, you can almost, you know, some folks even believe that when we moved into no-till, like atmosphere cooled down and all that, it's kind of hard to believe when it's 100 degrees in September, but there's some truth to all that.
Well, there definitely is. And then I had a gentleman on the show here a couple weeks back, and you know, he's all about the cover crop deals, but he said, you know, the thing about it is you need a root system in your ground going all the time. And I was going to ask you about that, what you thought about what he said about the root system, you know, because the root system is where you get your nutrients. The plant above, it gives you cover, but your root system also helps you with the fertility of your soil.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Some systems you might get away with growing continuous green growing material with continuous fruit growth. The challenge, there's the trade-offs to that, though. And there's been a number of different studies. You know, for instance, running cover crops in a summer fallow, that's what you would do in a lot of northwestern Oklahoma if you were you know, intent on cover cropping, because we have a lot of weed out there. And what you'll see is a lot of times you'll see ag on the fall forage production. Uh-huh. And so you'll gain forage production in the summer, and then you'll see a drag in the fall forage production. And then if you hold your mouth right and some rains in the spring recharge some of that profile, then your wheat yield may not be affected that much. But you do get the trade-off. You can produce overall total more biomass by growing cover in the summer, but if you're in the business of running cattle on wheat pasture, then you might be disappointed for in the fact that if you the cows, you might be able to run them on the cover crop in the summer.
Right.
But one of the challenges in Oklahoma and the Southern Plains in general is we have to think about the natural systems are dormant for quite a few months a year, and so. Although something green grown is good, and it keeps the soil structure resilient to degradation, we also know that having a full profile of water is helpful when we're going into these short flash droughts to maintain the production of our selected crop. And so, again, I'm not saying you can't cover crop. You just have to know that there's pros and cons and gives and takes to keep that green all year round.
Right. And well, I was reading, I wasn't creeping on you guys, I was reading your bio online, and on Dr. Warren, on your bio it says you're also engaged in activities aimed at increasing water use efficiency and rain-fed and irrigated crop productions systems. Can you touch a little bit on what you do, what you're studying on, like on the irrigated part?
Well, like we have projects mostly in the panhandle look at trying to maximize application. Well, water use efficiency in corn, and then we're also working in cotton out there. You know, the corn, it's all about, you know, keeping the crop healthy and productive to where we can every drop of water count. And then when we look at, you know, utilizing soil moisture sensors and crop indicators of growth to understand when we can turn the water off and when we can't, and just to also look, you know, of evaporation models to fine-tune. Because the technology is there, we just have to fine-tune and educate growers to help them improve their management. And then even in Southwest Oklahoma, one thing I discovered a few years ago is that guys put down, you know, 3/10 of an inch or 1/2 inch of water. Well, every time a pivot goes over a field, you're losing 1/10 of an inch of water. So if you put it out more frequent, less your application, you're going to lose more evaporation to that the sprinkler. Droplets hitting plants and surface of the soil. So if you slow it down to like an inch, inch and a quarter, that's fewer passes with less water loss. So those are the things we're looking at on that.
When are you, do you know when any of these results are going to be out from all those studies?
Yeah, we have the results of the stuff in the panhandle. They come on our research station, research highlights on opreq.okstate.edu most of the time.
Okay.
And so we provide annual reports, and those go out certainly, you know, all the growers out there that are interested.
Cool.
But yeah, we need to send some stuff back as far as the state. We've got demos more so on some farms. But what one about Kevin's project, what's interesting too, and so like right now, there's folks that are interested in like carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas emissions. That's another part that Kevin, he does the water runoff and water quality stuff. And then we're also going to be looking at, you know, the soil, how it accumulates carbon in these systems. And there's some promising results. If you ask a cover from Lubbock, they've shown that you can increase some organic matter. And then we'll actually put out some monitoring systems where we can look at the nitrous oxide emissions and see how it affects those.
That sounds interesting. I'm going to have to stay in touch with you two gentlemen, because this is of a lot of interest to everybody out here. You know, with this climate change going on, and according to some people that you talk to on the meteorology side, you know, the drought line that used to be out by between Pampa and Amarillo and out that way used to build the storms, and then they move into western Oklahoma. Supposedly it's kind of moved over here closer to the state line, and our rains are less frequently, or at least less frequent. And so everybody, I think, in the conservation mode of trying to figure out how they can best use their water, especially on the irrigation side. And, you know, we do need more rain, because Lugard Lake, that feeds most of the irrigation down there around in Jackson County, they haven't irrigated out of it since last year. So a lot of things are on people's minds nowadays, especially with water conservation.
Oh, yeah. We've got to really keep an eye on things. And, you know, we're working on a lot of the kind of behind the scenes that I don't have time to get into. But it's a challenging time, and it's fun. You know, it's interesting to work with, you know, the people we get to work with. We're fixing to write a proposal with the weather group, or from OU. I can't remember their exact time because I don't remember that kind of stuff. But they're really smart guys, and know about, you know, the oceanic currents and all the global weather and how it affects us here in the Southern Plains. And we're hoping to get that, be more effective at getting information out to growers in the future, to where they can make long-term strategies. Because, you know, what you do today, you know, that water, for instance, in the Lugard Altus, if you drain it and it doesn't rain, then you don't just irrigate the next year. If we can hold back that, or hold back some of the ground, the groundwater and things like that, then it's always beneficial, but it's hard to do when it's 100 degrees and
stuff. Yeah, it is. Well, gentlemen, I'm out of time, and I really appreciate you guys coming on, Dr. Warren and Dr. Wagner. Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope to have you guys on again sometime in the future to talk about some other projects or updates on what you got going on now.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much, and you guys have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right. Thanks. All right, that was Dr. Jason Warren and Dr. Kevin Warner, OSU, talking about water conservation and cover crops and how important they are and all kinds of good stuff. And appreciate them coming on. We'll have them on again in the future. Very intelligent guys on what they're talking about with like water conservation and stuff. And I'm going to keep my nose in that project they got going down there. South Altus and what they got going around Vernon, Texas, because I've heard some interesting things on the Texas State part of that where they've got a deal that's separating the salt out of the water so they can irrigate. So all kinds of interesting things going on. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Transitions invites you to join us for an estate sale Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th on Highland Drive in Eric, Oklahoma. This sale offers some of the most unique items that you'll ever find. You'll see a large variety of Western home decor, antiques, dish collections, and cookie jars. There's also two shops full of tools and treasures for you guys. Don't miss this one. For more information, contact me, Tia Dunlap, at Caring Transitions at 580-821-2572. Again, that's 580-821-2572.
With a small farmer or big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons of free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
A person who has never smiled can start smiling. There's just a look on their face that completely changes. And when we give them a mirror and show them their new smile, there's nothing that warms my heart more. I had a gentleman in his 50s. And his whole life, he never had a front tooth. His front tooth was stuck up in the bone. He had been to dentists before, but nobody really talked to him about his options. That was just the most rewarding thing. And afterwards, he sent me the sweetest card about how the Lord put a smile on his heart, but I put a smile on his face. And that's pretty rewarding. My name is Jamie Cameron, and I am a dentist in Weatherford at 129 North Bradley, a block north of Brahms.
Also at Liberty Dental in Carnegie on Main Street, right next to the movie theater.
JamieCameronDDS.com. You can also visit us on our Facebook page, JamieCameronDDS. Where we treat you like family and do life-changing dentistry.
Come have a ball at the Canadian River Beach Club's Calf Fry Cook-Off Barbecue and Beach Party September 24th in Canadian, Texas. In addition to the great food, entertainment will be provided by the Godfather of Trop Rock, Jerry Diaz and Hannes Reef, and TRMA Entertainer of the Year, Donnie Brewer and the Doc Rockers. Mosey on over to the biggest Trop Rock party in the Texas Panhandle September 24th at the Canadian River Beach Club in Canadian, Texas. For more details, search Facebook for Canadian River Beach Club.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's check out the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for southwestern Oklahoma and eastern Texas Panhandle. 94 for a high today, 95 tomorrow, 96 Wednesday, mostly sunny. Thursday, sunny, 88. But Friday, we're back up to 94. And I looked at the long Lone Ranger forecast, and I don't see any rain in our forecast, gentlemen. Sorry. So I don't go in there. I did have an interesting text message. I had a bunch of them, but I want to share this one with you. This gentleman here from up in Cheyenne, middle of Roger Mills County, says, I've been no-tilling for 8 years, covers for 5 years. Some years are better than others, about like anything else. And one thing I have noticed, I don't have whirlwinds, and my water infiltration is so much better, and that's what makes a difference. Anyway, thank you for your comment, sir. I'm pretty sure that's Tony, but anyway, we'll get back to the show here. All right, we got a few minutes left here. I want to go over some of the livestock reports from last week from Oklahoma and Texas, but let me check out these live cattle reports to get to the good doctors to get them on earlier, so I skipped this. Live cattle for October is 145.77, December 150.90, February is 155.25, and April live cattle 158.92. Feeder cattle actually in the green today, up nicely. September 179.82, October's 182.22. Lean hogs October 96.50, December 88.20, February 91.87. All right, let's check out some reports from Texas last week. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. On the Texas side, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were mostly steady. Trade activity and demand was moderate. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady to $2 lower. Supply included 80% feeder cattle, 16% slaughter cattle, and 4% replacement cattle. 5,444 head went through the sale barns in Texas last week, compared to 5,200 the week before and 6,700 last week. Just a few prices here real quick. We got 95 head, the average weight was 376 pounds, bringing anywhere from 210 to 252. Average price was 239. And then we had 166 head of steers that was averaging 436 on the weight, up to 234, 222, 35 was their average price. And then here's one I wanted to share with you. Them were winged, these are unwinged. 424 pound average was bringing anywhere from 190 to 213, 208, 95 was the difference unwinged. I don't know the difference in the quality in between those two, but between the weaned and the unwinged, they was right at 14 cents a pound difference. So that's $14 a hundred. Down here in the 500 pound range, we had some big bunch that weighed 511, brought up to 207. Some 600 pounders, 604s, brought up to $1.89. 715 pounders, brought up to $1.72. And we had some 793s, brought $1.60. In Oklahoma, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers were $4 to $8 lower. Demand was moderate for feeder cattle, despite numbers continuing to get tighter. Feeder cattle futures declined this week because of a host of negative items that hit the markets, and of course the higher grain prices, lowered box beef prices. Steer calves sold mostly steady to $4 lower. Decline on the five weights. Heifer calves was $1 to $3 lower. Demand moderate to good for calves, with short winged or unwinged calves seeing the least action. Many cattle continue to come to the market early due to drought and the lack of hay or hay prices. Temperatures remain in the low to mid-90s, and no rain in the near forecast for the next week. The calendar says it will be fall next week. However, summer is still hanging on. Slaughter cattle sold mostly steady, except boner cows, and they were $3 higher. Slaughter bulls were $3 higher. The market continues to be strong in most areas. All right. Total receipts for Oklahoma last week. Wow. 40,457 head was reported going through the sale barn, compared to 19,599 the week before. And this time last year, there was 32,873 through the sale barn. It was quickly 345 pounders on wing, up to 217 on the steers. 431s up to 236, 212 average. And had some 500 pounders that was 519 weights, bringing up to 204. So not too terrible bad. I think the slaughter cows are down quite a bit. But we will see tomorrow, because you know who is having a sale? Mr. Jerry Nine at the Woodward Livestock Auction will be having their cow and bull sale tomorrow. So we'll cover that probably Wednesday. Right now, the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is going on over there east of Clinton on I-40. I'll have Elk City and Clinton results tomorrow. And fun day. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. You guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. And God bless.